On Death, published with Alastor in 1816. There is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. Ecclesiastes. The pale, the cold, and the moony smile, which the meteor beam of a starless night sheds on a lonely and sea-girt isle ere the dawning of morn's undoubted light, is the flame of life so fickle and wan that flits round our steps till their strength is gone. O man, hold thee on in courage of soul through the stormy shades of thy worldly way, and the billows of cloud that around thee roll shall sleep in the light of a wondrous day, where hell and heaven shall leave thee free to the universe of destiny. This world is the nurse of all we know. This world is the mother of all we feel. And the coming of death is a fearful blow to a brain unencompassed with nerves of steel. When all we know or feel or see shall pass like an unreal mystery. The secret things of the grave are there, where all but this frame must surely be. Though the fine wrought eye and the wondrous ear no longer will live to hear or to see. All that is great and all that is strange in the boundless realm of unending change. Who telleth a tale of unspeaking death? Who lifteth the veil of what's to come? Who painteth the shadows that are beneath the wide winding caves of the peopled tomb? Or uniteth the hopes of what shall be with the fears and the love for that which we see? A Summer Evening Churchyard, composed in September 1815, published with Alastor in 1816. The wind has swept from the wide atmosphere each vapour that obscured the sunset's rays, and pallid evening twines its beaming hair in duskier braids around the languid eyes of day. Silence and twilight, beloved of men, creep hand in hand from yon obscurest glen. They breathe their spells towards the departing day, encompassing the earth, air, stars, and sea. Light, sound, and motion own the potent sway, responding to the charm with its own mystery. The winds are still. Or the dry church tower grass knows not their gentle motions as they pass. Thou too, aerial pile, whose pinnacles point from one shrine like pyramids of fire, obeyest in silence their sweetest solemn spells, clothing in hues of heaven thy dim and distant spire, around whose lessening and invisible height gather among the stars the clouds of night. The dead are sleeping in their sepulchres, and mouldering as they sleep a thrilling sound, half sense, half thought, among the darkness stirs, breathed from their wormy beds all living things around. And mingling with the still night and mute sky, its awful hush is felt inaudibly. Thus solemnized and softened, death is mild, and terrorless as this serenest night. Here could I hope, like some inquiring child, sporting on graves that death did hide from human sight, sweet secrets, or besides its breathless sleep, the loveliest dreams perpetual watch did keep. Two Unknown, published with Alastor, 1816. Oh, there are spirits of the air, and genii of the evening breeze, and gentle ghosts with eyes as fair as starbeams among the twilight trees. Such lovely ministers to meet, oft hast thou turned from men thy lonely feet. With mountain winds and babbling springs and moonlit seas, there are the voice of these inexplicable things thou didst hold commune and rejoice when they did answer thee, but they cast, like a worthless boon, thy love away. And thou hast sought in starry eyes beams that were never meant for thine, another's wealth, tame sacrifice, to a fond faith. Still dost thou pine, still dost thou hope that greeting hands, voice, looks, or lips may answer thy demands. Ah, wherefore didst thou build thine hope on the false earth's inconsistency? Did thine own mind afford no scope of love or moving thoughts to thee? That natural scenes or human smiles could steal the power to wind thee in thy wiles. Yes, all the faithless smiles are fled, whose falsehood left thee broken-hearted. The glory of the moon is dead, night's ghosts and dreams have now departed. Thine own soul still is true to thee, but changed to a foul fiend through misery. This fiend, whose ghastly presence ever, besides thee like thy shadow hangs, dream not to chase the mad endeavour, would scourge thee to thy severer pangs. Be as thou art, thy settled fate, dark as it is, all change would aggravate. To Wordsworth, published with Alastor in 1816. Poet of nature, thou hast wept to know that things depart which never may return. Childhood and youth, friendship and love's first glow, have fled like sweet dreams, leaving thee to mourn. These common woes I feel, one loss is mine, which thou too feel'st, yet I alone deplore. Thou wert as a lone star whose light did shine on some frail bark in the winter's midnight roar. Thou hast like to a rock built refuge stood above the blind and battling multitude. In honoured poverty thy voice did weave songs consecrate to truth and liberty. Deserting these thou leavest me to grieve, thus having been that thou should cease to be. Feelings of a Republican on the Fall of Bonaparte, published with Alastor, 1816. I hated thee, fallen tyrant. I did groan to think that a most unambitious slave like thou should dance and revel on the grave of liberty. Thou mightst have built thy throne where it had stood even now. Thou didst prefer a frail and bloody pomp which time has swept in fragments towards oblivion. Massacre, for this I prayed, would on thy sleep have crept, treason and slavery, rapine, fear and lust, and stifled thee their minister. I know, too late, since thou and France are in the dust, that virtue owes a more eternal foe than force or fraud, old custom, legal crime, and bloody faith, the foulest birth of time. Lines, published in Hunt's Literary Pocketbook, 1823, where it is headed November 1815, reprinted in the Posthumous Poems, 1824. The cold earth slept below, above the cold sky shone, and all around with a chilling sound, from caves of ice and fields of snow, the breath of night like death did flow beneath the sinking moon. The wintry hedge was black, the green grass was not seen. The birds did rest on bare thorns' breast, whose roots beside the pathway track had bound their folds o'er many a crack which the frost had made between. Thine eyes glowed in the glare of the moon's dying light, as a fen fire beam on a sluggish stream gleams dimly, so the moon shone there, and it yellowed the strings of thy raven hair that shook in the wind of night. The moon made thy lips pale, beloved. The wind made thy bosom chill. the night did shed on thy dear head its frozen dew, and thou didst lie where the bitter breath of the naked sky might visit thee at will. The Sunset, written at Bishopsgate, 1816, in spring, published in full in the Posthumous Poems, 1824, lines 9 to 20 and 28 to 42 appeared in Hunt's Literary Pocketbook, 1823. There late was one within whose subtle being, as light and wind within some delicate cloud that fades amid the blue noon's burning sky, genius and death contended. None may know the sweetness of the joy which made his breath fail like the trances of the summer air, when the lady of his love, who then first knew the unreserve of mingled being, he walked along the pathway of a field which to the east a hoar wood shadowed o'er, but to the west was open to the sky. There now the sun had sunk, but lines of gold hung on the ashen clouds, and on the points of the far level grass and nodding flowers, and the old dandelion's hoary beard, and mingled with the shades of twilight lay on the brown massy woods. And in the east the broad and burning moon lingeringly rose between the black trunks of the crowded trees, while the faint stars were gathering overhead. "Is it not strange, Isabel?" said the youth. "I never saw the sun. We will walk here tomorrow. Thou shalt look on it with me." The night, the youth, and lady mingled lay in love and sleep, but when the morning came, the lady found her lover dead and cold. Let none believe that God in mercy gave that stroke. The lady died not, nor grew wild, but year by year lived on. In truth, I think her gentleness and patience and sad smiles, and that she did not die, but lived to tend her aged father, were a kind of madness. If madness 'tis to be unlike the world, for but to see her were to read the tale, woven by some subtlest bard, to make hard hearts dissolve away in wisdom working grief. Her eyes were black and lustreless and worn. Her eyelashes were worn away with tears. Her lips and cheeks were like dead things, so pale. Her hands were thin, and through their wandering veins and weak articulations might be seen day's ruddy light. The tomb of the dead self, which one vexed ghost's inhabits, night and day, is all lost child that now remains of thee. Inheritor of more than earth can give, passionless, calm, and silence unproven, whether the dead find, oh, not sleep, but rest, and are the uncomplaining things they seem, or live, or drop in the deep sea of love. O that, like thine, mine epitaph were peace. This was the only moan she ever made.